Good morning, everybody. Happy, April? What a beautiful day we have today. It's good to see some smiling faces out there. And we all should be smiling, I guess, but it's good to see you guys out there. Is there any blessings that you guys want to share with us today? Anything that's coming about this week for you that you know God's hand was in that? With Patty and Eddie, yes. That was a real blessing. It was good to see them. As we get older, family becomes more important to us, I think. And it's always good when we can spend some time together. Anyone else? Well, for me, I know you guys have been praying for me for my surgery, and everything went really well. I haven't got the last pathology on the lymph node yet, so me and Mom are thinking that's probably good news. If they haven't heard anything, because surely they would have called you if something was bad. So hopefully I'll hear something this next day or two, and if not, I'll give them a call back and see what we've got. All right. Well, if you wouldn't mind, take your bulletin here. There's an insert we'll talk about here in just a moment. But if you go to that right side, you see some announcement and opportunities. Harlan's Christian Youth Center, it's April, it's Calvary's month to receive donations for them. So if you've got some non-perishable items you'd like to bring in for that, that would be wonderful. We have some birthdays coming up. Barbara Harley, Peyton Shoemaker, and Bob Jackson. So when you see them this week or think about them this week, wish them a happy birthday. I know our Annie Armstrong mission offering is, we were just short of our goal. So if you are going to give to that again, if you feel led to, go ahead and mark the envelope and put Annie Armstrong for that. You can just put that in the regular bucket for that. On the very back of the bulletin is our prayer request. And like I like to say, if you got a refrigerator and magnet, put that up on your refrigerator magnet. And every time you get up to get something to drink or to put something in the refrigerator, just grab one person's name and just say a little prayer for them right then and there. That'd be a blessing. Prayers do work. I'm a living testament to that. All right. I think Brother Dennis is going to come up and talk a little bit about the parking lot fundraiser and then open us in prayer.
Well, the Bible encourages us, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. I take responsibility for the errors in the bulletin, so I'll point out a couple of them. There won't be any gold buckets today. I didn't take that out. And unfortunately, Mary Ann on the back has passed away. So concerning this insert that we have, this parking lot was recapped 4 years ago, and it's getting raw. It needs to be seal-coated. If we let it go too long, it'll start breaking up, and it'll be a mess. I don't know how many of you drive over to the other side. That's really getting broken up and needs attention, too. So it's been 4 years since we did that. It should be recoated, sealed, cracks filled, restriped. The stripes are getting dim. And this is all a testimony to the world around us when they see this facility that God has blessed and raised up here at Calvary. It's an opportunity for us to, how do we say that, to stretch ourselves. This shouldn't come out of your regular giving to the church, but should be in addition to it. It's pretty well self-explanatory on the back. It explains why we need to do this. So let's open with prayer. Father, we thank you for the beautiful day that you've created this morning, the sun shining. The temperature is still cool, but we see the flowers blooming and growth coming up from the ground. Reminds us of what we celebrated last Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, victory over sin and death and hell. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us here today. We ask your blessing on this congregation and those that are gathered this morning all over the world to praise and to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for all the pastors that are preaching the word of God this morning, that your word would go forth as a mighty sword to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, that souls might be challenged, that those that are lost might be convicted of their sin and repent and turn to you and have everlasting life. We pray especially for us this morning as we've gathered here. We pray for our pastor, Pastor Mike, that you would bless your word as it goes forth. We thank you for this opportunity. We pray for those that are unable to be here this morning, that wanted to be here, that you would heal them or lift them up in whatever way they need. They might join us again. And Lord, we pray for those that just are kind of not really sure whether they want to commit themselves to be here. We pray for them as well. We love them. We know you love them. We pray that you would lift them up and give them the strength and the commitment to be here, to worship with us, the family of God here at Calvary. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're invited to stand with us. And smile. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He's living, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show.
Jesus, more of His saving fullness sing, more of His love who died for me.
More about Jesus in His word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me.
More about Jesus
on His throne, riches in glory all His own, more of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming Prince of Peace. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me.
Our Lord, we're very thankful that we're here this morning, Lord, that You've give us the desire to assemble once again in Your house of prayer, to Lord, to lift up that name of Jesus, the one who died for us, the one that we rejoiced last week, Lord, that He rose from the dead. And that was on our behalf, God, that we wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell, but that we can be with Him in heaven. So, God, we pray for this day that He'll be glorified and lifted up. And we pray, Father, Your blessings upon each one that has come this way this morning. And we especially pray for our pastor as he imparts Your word to us, Lord. And this we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Bondell, that's such a good song. Let's stand together and praise the Lord.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. Died
Oh, causes me to tremble.
Christmas songs and Easter songs are the best, aren't they? I mean, there's some other good ones, but I don't know of any of those that are not good. They always speak to your heart, don't they? That one there sneaks right up on you, doesn't it? Changes. Boom. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. I'm going to read verse 3, but just keep it open there. We got a couple of things there that we want to look at this morning as we go along. But I want to call your attention to the prayer requests on the back. You see there's lots of those there. I want to remember Rick in a special way. This Friday, he's going in for surgery. It is serious. And so remember him. And then Pastor and Sophia. Sophia has not been feeling well. And so they decided to go home and get some medical care there in Korea. I'm not sure exactly all the ins and outs of that, but that's where they're at. And we want the Lord to touch them, touch Sophia in a very special way. Let them know that we're thinking of them, Lord. Look at those names. There's all kinds of folks there that we need to think about today. So you think about those as we open with this word of prayer. Be right before we look at the word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do for us, with us, and through us. So many times, Father, we don't even understand how your hands at play in our lives and those around us. We get all excited about some things, and then we quickly forget those blessings that you so give us. And then we get so down and right in the pits of the despair. And then you need to raise us up again. Talk to us, speak to us, encourage us. So Lord, those we have on that prayer list, each and every one of those names represents somebody that you love and families that love them. And those are some very serious things that are happening in people's lives. And so, Lord, we pray that you would work in every one of those especially. We do pray for those who have the authority, the rule over us. We think of our president, Father. We pray that you be with him. Give him some of your spirit, Father, that he might make decisions that would be honoring to you and that would lead our nation in a right, correct way. As we attempt to be who you would have us to be in this world. Be with us now as we're here, and there are those all over the world today who are meeting in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, a blessing, even as Dennis said this morning. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, last Sunday, we rightly celebrated the greatest event in all of history, and that's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw Jesus arrested. We saw how he was betrayed. The Jewish authorities were afraid of Jesus. I think they were jealous of him as well. He challenged their authority, for one thing. He challenged their interpretation of the scriptures. That really riled them. He challenged their power and their leadership, and that didn't sit well with them either. So Jesus, we might say, was just a thorn in their flesh. And John says in John chapter 15, verses 18 through 19, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you, Jesus is saying. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of this world, therefore the world hateth you. So we're in diametric opposition to the things of the world. The values that we have, the goals that we have, the understanding we have about what life is all about, diametrically opposed. And so we're going to find that that's never going to change until the Lord comes again. But John tells us that Jesus would be betrayed. He tells us that he would be arrested. He tells us that he would be put to death. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus was crucified. I don't know of any other means of execution that would be more brutal than that. Men's dark hearts have come up with many ways to kill somebody, to murder somebody. But this was a goodie. The Romans didn't invent it. They just took it over. They said, boy, this is really great. We put these guys on a cross. We put them on a main road. And it's like a big flashing signboard. Don't mess with us or this will happen to you. And so everybody that passed by would be reminded of that lesson over and over and over again. So he was taken down, though, from the cross, we're told, was placed in a borrowed tomb. Isn't that amazing or interesting? Everything seems to be lost. The disciples, their hopes that they had in Jesus and what he was talking about, the expectation of the kingdom of God, all those kind of things, those just seemed like they had come to nothing. Cruelly dashed. But then came Sunday when he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. The women told the disciples about Jesus not being in the grave and how they had encountered angels and all those kind of things. And I think we should probably say without a doubt that our male disciples were a little bit, yeah, sure. These women are all excited about something. They've got it all wrong again like they always have. But, you know, I think that shoe fits our foot too, doesn't it? We get it all wrong all the time, most of the time. But Thomas over there in chapter 20 said this, and he fits most of us, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into his prints of the nails and thrust my hand to his side, I'm just not going to believe it. So we talk about doubting Thomas. We talk about him being an empirical believer in what he could see with his hands and understand with his heart and mind, all those kind of things. I think most people are like that. We're like that. Now, 8 days later, Jesus appeared again. This time, Thomas was there. And John chapter 28 says, Thomas then answered and said unto Jesus, my Lord and my God. Remember, Jesus said, hey, here I am. Go ahead and touch. Go ahead. The Apostle John said over in chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one of Israel, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. All these wonderful things that Jesus did. But the disciples were still uncertain what they were to do now. John chapter 21, verse 3 gives us Peter's reckoning of what he was going to do. Peter told the guys, well, we've walked with Jesus, we've heard him, we saw him crucified, we understood he was raised from the dead, we don't know what all that means. I think I'm just going to go fishing. Now that's bad enough for Peter to say that. But what did the other guy say? I think we'll just go with you. We'll just go with you. Most of them were fishermen, so it makes sense. Peter was a fisherman. James and John were fishermen. So they fished all night, and they caught nothing. Now, if you're a fisherman here in the morning, this morning, you'll recognize that that's the normal state of events with fishermen. We fish and we catch nothing. And we have all these cool things in our tackle box. We have little lures that flare like that and all this. We fish and we fish and we catch nothing. I remember when we were up in Montana, up at Haver, our base was just out in the middle of the wheat field. The dew line, it was called, radar sites across the north there to catch the advance warning of Soviet incoming missiles. And so that's what we were doing up there. But the base thought, well, we need to have something for these guys to do a little bit. And so the rancher, the farmer next to us, had about a mile and a half, 2 miles down the hill a little bit. There was a pond, and he rented that pond to us. And we had the DNR come out and stock it with rainbow trout. And so it was a pretty nice little spot to go fishing. And I went down there one day, and I walked down there because my dad said, you know, I hadn't done something with... We had a 62 Chevy and station wagon, and then he had bought a 56 Chevy station wagon for kind of a hunting fishing car, and one that I could use. But I don't think I cleaned it properly or something like that. So my dad said, no, you're not using it. And so I trucked all the way down to the bottom of the hill down there to go fishing. And I took a couple of things with me. I took a couple of spinners that I knew that the trout liked. And I also took a couple of flies because somebody told me there were black flies hatching out all over the place down there. And the fish were really, really biting on those. And I thought, well, that's why I want to go down there. So I went down there. But I just had a spin casting rod. And so you just put the fly on the line without any weight, and you could throw it, and it would be about from here to the floor. You just couldn't get it to go anywhere. So I took a little split shot, and I put it up about 18 inches away from the fly, because I didn't want the fly to sink, but I needed a little something to get it out there. And boy, oh boy, that worked. I was hauling in the fish. I was having a great day. Just fun, 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 you know. And then, all of a sudden, nothing. And I thought, well, what's going on here? And when I reeled up, I then noticed all I had left of that fly was the bare hook. They had knocked all the hair off of it, and it was just a bare hook. And those trout weren't that stupid. We weren't going to hit a bare hook. And so I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, how can I, you know, I don't want to go all the way back up to the house and come back and everything like that. And so I looked around a little bit. And there were cows and things like that, and there were horses in that pasture over there too. And I found a little hair. Now, it wasn't really black, but it was kind of brownish. So I took that, I don't know if it was a horse tail or a cow's, whatever, I have no idea, but I put it on that fly that wasn't a fly anymore. And I took a little wax, like that, so it would stick. Because about every second or third time I threw it, all the little hairs would fly away. Guess what? Trout aren't that stupid. They said, we're not going to bite a horsehair fly. But it was a lot of fun doing those kind of things. And so, you know, I like to go fishing. I can understand Peter said, man, I don't know what's going on here. We walked around with Jesus here for 3 years. We seen him go on a cross, a horrible, terrible way to die. But he did raise from the grave, but I don't know what to do now. I'm just going to go fishing. So they fished all night, and they caught nothing. And verse 4 tells us, but when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew him not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered, no. And Jesus said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore now, they that were able to were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, who is that? John said unto Peter, hey, this is Jesus. I don't know who they thought it was to begin with, but nevertheless, they finally recognized it. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. The point here is, They knew how to fish. And what we do when we're under pressure is we return to things we're familiar with. The ministry of Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, and now what do? So they returned to what they knew best, and that was fishing. But when Jesus called them and saved them and used them and taught them, he did all those kind of things because they were not going to be just simply fishers of fish, but fishers of men. And they never quite realized that until then. And when Jesus came to them, we have a new assignment. Listen, we're part of God's great and glorious, gracious plan to share the gospel. Do you know that? Each and every one of you in here, if you've asked Christ to come into your life, if he's Lord of your life, you're on assignment. You're not just doing your own thing anymore. You've got a task to do, and that task is to make Jesus known to the world. However to do that, God is going to contrast that with and put that with you as only you can do. We're part of God's great and glorious plan to share the gospel. And we're going to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do that with the personality that God has given us. And we're going to do that with the tools and with the history that God has with us. That's how we're going to do it. And we're to encourage people to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how many times people encounter a Christian and when they leave that situation, they think to themselves, boy, oh boy, I don't know, those guys are crazy or whatever, you know. Probably that's, you know, some of that. And some of that's probably because we were so ill-equipped to say it properly with love and depending upon the Holy Spirit that we just busted that. But God is gracious. He'll give us another chance if we learn from that to do it better. God wants us to use us in his ministry. You're able to do whatever God wants you to do. Did you know that? You're able to do it. You think, well, I don't know. I don't have this. I don't have that. No, you're able to do it. God wouldn't ask you to do something if he was not willing to go with you and equip you and help you to do that job. Many, many people wrongly believe that the work of the ministry is for guys that stand behind the pulpit. That's a pastoral thing. Yes, sirree. That's what we pay you for, buddy. Better get out there and get moving. Yeah. Or that's what missionaries are for. We had a Lottie Moon Christmas offering for foreign missions. We're looking for Annie Armstrong now. You know, there's a need for missionaries right here in America. A big need. But we think that's the pastor's job. That's the missionary's job. Oh, maybe that's the evangelist's job or something like that. Sometimes we have favorite preachers and things like that. That's their job. But we don't see it as being our job. But the Bible tells us we're all a part of that great commission. God didn't save you. God didn't place you in the body because he thought you were weird and frankly couldn't use you, but he wasn't going to reject you. No. Frankly, he knew who you were and he was going to use you and use you uniquely in you being you to somebody else. Because this is what? There's a lot of folks just like us out there. You're just like a lot of folks. I'm just like a lot of folks. And we'll have, by the Spirit of God, God will bring us in contact with those people. It's never a coincidence. It's never just a happenstance thing. It's a divine appointment that God has given to us. And he has given us a shape in our lives. I've talked about shape before, but I want to do it again a little bit quickly. Again, the S stands for spiritual gifts. God has given us spiritual gifts, each and every one of us, at least one. I think God is most gracious, and so most of the time, he gives you multiple spiritual gifts. But the S stands for spiritual gifts. The H stands for heart. I don't care what you're thinking about, whatever. There's something in your life that you like. Nobody has to invite you to do it. Nobody has to encourage you to do it. Nobody has to take you by the hand, you know, and say, you know, hey, Dennis, you and Mike, come with me. We're going to go to the Auburn course, Duesenberg, and we're going to look at the hot rod cars. Dennis and I are not going to say, well, I don't know. We're going to say, yes, go. Whatever our heart is, God's going to use our heart. You've got a heart for stuff. You're unique. You're different from everybody else, but there is somebody out there that has a heart like yours, and God wants you to connect with that. Then the A stands for abilities. You say, well, I don't have many abilities. Oh, yeah, you do. You have abilities, and God will use that. And P stands for personality. You have a personality. Sometimes people say to me, you know, Brother Mike, you know, I don't know. Your personality is weird. I don't know. I'd like to like you, but I don't like you. You know, you just anybody be better than you. Well, we do have personalities, that's for sure. And it will be uniquely us, and there will be some folks that we just go like that, boop. And there are some folks we're going to go boop like that. But God can use us in every way just as easy as he can anybody. And then, of course, the E stands for experience. There we have experiences. We have experiences. But let me look or tell you. Lou, did you put up to Romans chapter 12, 6 through 8, or did you do that? Okay, look. So Romans chapter 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. God has given us spiritual gifts. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4 tells you about spiritual gifts. They don't always give you all the gifts in one place. But if you look at those scriptures, you'll find out. You can take a piece of paper and you can write those down. You can write them down. And I guarantee you God gave you one of those. Matter of fact, I would say probably God has given you more than one. God is gracious. He is good. And he's given us more. There's a gift of leadership. It helps to have motivation, people to work together. That's a needful thing. Administration, and it helps the body to organize. You know, there are some people who could just, you know, room full of people, in 5 minutes they got everybody clicking and working together and going in every different direction with one purpose in mind. Why? Because they have that gift. There are people who have the gift of teaching. Jesus was the greatest teacher who ever lived. But you know, there are some people who are good teachers. Sometimes I like to listen to different people on the radio or on television or something like that. Not so much because they're great preachers, but sometimes they've got so much good stuff to say that even in the bland, most backward way they can say it, it's still profitable. It's still profitable. So you have those that are teachers. They're great teachers. There's knowledge, not just not knowing something about, but it's knowing how to move people to understand. And then the gift of wisdom is the ability to discern knowledge. Knowledge gained through experience. We all have experiences. And you will be surprised. I suspect if you thought about it, go home this afternoon, after you eat lunch and those kind of things, you're sitting there in your chair and you're comfortable. Think about all the things that you have thought about over the years, and then you thought to yourself, I had no idea that was going to happen. And all of a sudden, there we were, in that divine appointment, in that Holy Spirit moment, you're talking, you're sharing, you're witnessing, and you're doing what God would have you to do. And then, of course, there's that thing called prophecy. A lot of people love that. We have all kinds of folks talking about, well, I'm a prophet. Well, I'm not sure about all those fellows, but prophecy is just a message from God. It's just a message from God. Discernment. That's learning to think like God. You know, that is an important thing for us to know. Because God sees things differently than we do. And we need to understand how God thinks about things. The most difficult person, the person you think is worthless or whatever, you just soon never see them again or whatever like that, that may be the very person that God wants you to interact with and lead them to the Lord. And so if you lose some discernment, understanding to think like God, you'll be thinking, God loves them just like he loves me. And God wants them to know the truth just like he gave me the truth. And just like so many helped me, I can be a helper in leading them to Christ. So discernment, understanding what's going on. You know, sometimes people get in very difficult situations, and that's fine, actually. It's the place they need to be. Because they'll slow down, be quiet for a while, and after they stop crying and screaming, they're ready to hear something good. Exhortation means to exhort and to encourage. Don't you like people who encourage you? I don't know what to do with some of those kind of things, but you know, every now and then I'll walk into the church or somebody like that, and somebody will say, you know, Mike, that's really kind of a cool red tie you got on there with that red shirt. And they're saying something good, but they're also saying, that red shirt is so red that anybody with a half a lick of sense would take that and give that to the Goodwill people. No. Somebody gave me this red shirt, and I'm going to wear it. And it don't look that bad, I don't think. What do you think? Not too bad. Yeah. Listen, we need to have discernment. We need to be encouraged. We need to have encouragement. And when people share with us, go out of their way to do something nice for us, go out of their way to help us, you're going to want to give that back. You want to be just like them. And then the word about shepherding, that comes from the Greek word, as you probably know. Ponemen means to shepherd. That means to be like a shepherd. You're shepherding. You're working with the sheep. Many times over at the nursing home, I'd say something about sheep, and I remember this one lady. You know, there are some people that they're just something else. You know that? They really are. And so I said something about sheep, and I was describing David was a shepherd and all this kind of stuff. And she said, Pastor Mike, have you ever been around sheep? I said, well, no, not really. My grandma had some chickens and pigs and things like that, but no sheep. She says, I thought so. She said, sheep are stinky. I see Ron's shaking his head. I haven't been around them, Ron. Are they stinky? Are they? They don't have that white fluffy stuffy like you see on the little lamb that the little two-year-old has. Not that. And worse than that. Well, you know, but listen. We need to understand that and learning that to think like God, that God loves them. We need to learn to be an encourager, exhortation, encourage. There's too many people that tell you everything's wrong with you and not give you any solutions for that wrongness. We need a few people who encourage us that God can do something with us. Matter of fact, it may be exactly the way you're supposed to be, and God is going to use you in a very unique way. Faith. That's a spiritual gift. Hebrews 11 has a whole, we call that the roll call of faith, don't we? Faith is intellectual assent, believing God for an object, for a goal. It's not guaranteed. You don't know if it's going to work or not. You have never experienced that before. But God knows. And if we trust the Lord and use that faith, big, small, medium, doesn't make any difference, he's going to use that for his glory. And in using that to his glory, guess what happens to us? We get lifted up. We think, thank you, Jesus, for letting me have this little bit of ministry today. And then, of course, evangelism. There are those kind of folks who go around saying, well, I'm an evangelist, and they're proclaiming the good news. And I'm not saying that they're not. But, you know, what evangelism means to tell the good news. That's not just single person. That's not the guy who comes once every other year and preaches 6 days in a row. He might be an evangelist, but we're supposed to be an evangelist in that we're telling the good news to people about Jesus. And then apostleship, boy, that's one that really gets people riled up. We have churches that we've got apostles today. Yeah. Down there in Marion, I think there's a group down there. Yeah, we're apostles. Well, okay. Not like that. The apostles were those 12 guys plus the apostle Paul. You're not like them. You don't want to be like them. You want to be you and let God minister through you in faith and evangelism. Then there are the person who has the gift of helps. Oh, I'm telling you, that is so great. That is so great. The one who comes alongside and helps you. You're out there in the parking lot, and you come out to your car, and there's a flat tire. A flat tire? Tar? Something like that. This flat tire out there. You know, those. Have you ever had anybody comes up and say, hey, can I help you with that? I have. And they do help you. And you know what that prompts me to do? Prompts me to try to help somebody else. That's the way it's supposed to work. Helping lends itself to ministering in Jesus' name. In a very concrete, simple way, but effectively and powerful. And then there's a gift of giving. We used to have a couple here, Bob and Jesse Wolford. Anybody remember Bob and Jesse? Bob was very quiet. Jesse wasn't. Anyway, one day I was visiting there. They lived over in Canterbury, and I was visiting with them. And Bob asked me something about the sign. We had been working on the building here, and somebody had been driving the lull and knocked the sign down. Wasn't that nice? But we needed to do something with the sign. So Bob asked me, what are you going to do with the sign? I said, well, we're going to try to replace that. I said, I think it was a couple $1,000 at least. I don't know what it costs exactly, but it'll be something like that. But we'll have to work on it a little bit, but we'll get it replaced. And Bob said, just tell me how much it will cost. I said, well, I don't know. He said, tell me what it will cost. Tell me what it will cost. Jesse says, you are dense, aren't you? I had to go look up what dense was. And I am. I am dense. Didn't know that. You're dense, aren't you? She says, you know what he's asking you? Price of the sign? No, she's asking you to tell him what the price of the sign is, and he's going to write out a check for it right now. He's hot to do it right now. Well, whoo. I didn't know what the design was, but I came and got on the telephone, had a couple of people come out and look at it that afternoon. I got him a prize. Yeah. He had the gift of giving. The funny thing was that when we got done doing that, Jesse says, now what can I give? What? So then I realized that Bob was doing this deal, and Jesse was having to straighten me out on what that was. Now I needed to realize that Bob was over here, Jesse's over here. She's wanting to do something too. And I better find something that I can tell her, because she's wanting to do something too. So it took me a couple days on that, but because I gave her a couple of suggestions. And the first one I gave her, she said, But about the third one I gave her, she said, oh, I like that. that would really help the kids, wouldn't it? And I said, well, I think so. Okay. She said, that's great. She said, I'll get that for you. Go ahead and order it, whatever you have to do. I said, well, I can't do that unless I'm waving the money. She said, okay, come back this afternoon. I'll get it for you. She went to the bank and got cash. Oh, that'll work. That'll work. Yeah. Listen, some people have the gift of giving. They're offended if you don't let them give. That is one of the things that they can do, they want to do, and listen, it's a needful thing. Not everybody has the financial resources to be able to buy a sign like that, just like that. But some people do, and they want to be able to do that. For the Lord, of course. For the Lord. And then another spiritual gift there is hospitality. Biblical hospitality seeks to show love in the same way that Jesus did. You know, we have some folks that have the gift of hospitality. We really do. We really do. It's fun. It's fun. You got to watch out, though, because you have to be careful and letting them do their hospitality. But biblical hospitality is to show the love of Jesus in all kinds of ways. Devoted to one another in brotherly love, showing hospitality, treating strangers and friends alike. No wonder the teachings of Jesus changed the world. Jesus walked around with those guys, Peter, James, and John. Did all kinds of stuff, preaching, teaching, did miracles. They saw him die on the cross. They saw him rise again on the third day. They saw him physically in the midst. Yet, they were like us. And they didn't know exactly what to do. Thomas said, unless I can stick my hand in his hand and put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe you guys. And Jesus appeared to him. What does the Bible say? Then Thomas came over, grabbed Jesus' hand. Mm-hmm. Oh, there is it. Yeah. Or, well, yeah, right there in the side. Yeah, I see it now. Now what did he do? Nothing like that. Confronted with the risen Christ, he said, my Lord and my God. Listen, the ultimate objective in everything that we do is to introduce people to Jesus and let Jesus do his marvelous, wonderful, miraculous work in their life. Introduce, set it up, do whatever you have to do in that way. Let that hospitality show through, and the teachings of the Lord Jesus will begin to burst out in their minds, and we're going to see great things happening. I think this old world needs a good dose of the hospitality of Jesus, don't you? Yeah, yeah. We live in a world, all kinds of folks running around conning people all the time. I'm glad that our church years and years ago helped me out and said, Mike, you can't give people money. You got to come see us first and we'll talk to you and we'll help them. Because you know what I would do? Well, here you go. Here you go. Here you go. And you know, some people don't have enough sense. Listen, when you got a call list, because that's what they do, right there, Calvary Baptist Church, Calvary Temple, you know, First Baptist, I don't know, whatever. And they go down and call them those things, and that guy gave you the $200 you needed. That guy gave you the $200 you needed. That guy gave you the $200 you needed. And some of those people don't have enough sense to cross you off. I don't know about this one guy. He calls me fairly frequently. I know him by name. And I said, what do you think you're doing calling me? He said, well, I need some help. I'm over here at the motel. I need some money to stay in the motel. It's getting cold, you know, Pastor. And it wouldn't hurt to get some breakfast this morning, stuff like that, and blah, 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 blah. And I say, you know, hey, I know who you are. And I know that you're going to use this money for almost anything but what you just told me. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no. Yeah. Or somebody pulled up out here in the front yard one time, just right over there, and they had some insulin equipment with them. And boy, that sounded terrible to me. This woman saying her husband needs this insulin. She showed me this deal and all this kind of stuff. And I was thinking to myself, well, we got to somehow or another help this person, because I think, you know, if you don't get your insulin, you might die or something like that. But there was somebody else out there in the yard. I don't know if she was pulled by the Holy Spirit to come over to that car or what, but she walked up there and looked inside, and she said, you know, that stuff won't work for what you're saying it will do. What did you say exactly, Mondale?
Well, I called you first, and you said you'd already been there. I called Ron and asked if I could give her some insulin. He's the one that said that's not what you need.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, it was a scam. Pretty good scam, but a scam. So that's the world we live in. But we can't let the scammers defraud us of what God wants us to do in the ministry to help people. Some people need help. They really do. It's desperate. They really need help. And we should be the kind of people who would be willing to help them. But we're not willing to give away God's money foolishly. But we should be willing to help them. Peter says, I don't know. I guess I'm going to go fishing. Took the rest of the old guys. All of them, didn't they? Jesus came and said, hey, guys, did you catch any fish? Nah, I haven't done any good. Throw it out on the other side of the boat. Listen. They were normal guys, not super intellects or anything like that. But when they started hauling in that net, they knew immediately who said that to him, didn't they? Only Jesus can say, cast your net on the other side and you're going to get some fish. We got to recognize who the Lord is. He is Lord of everything. And follow his instructions, whether it seems right or not. Follow his instructions, because there are people who need help. You'd think that, oh, I don't know. I've got a terrible gag reflex. It doesn't take much, and I'm, you know, get a good whiff of something. Now, it's not apple pie. That happens. No, not that at all. Yeah. But somebody my wife ran into at the hospital. She worked at St. Joe at the time. And she told me about this need that these people had. And so she dispatched me and Todd. It was an upstairs apartment. You know how sometimes they do those two-story houses? They divide one down and two. And so we walked up the stairs. And this girl came to the door, opened the door, asked us to come in. We stepped in, and I started to say something about my wife is the nurse you were talking about, and I understand you need some groceries. I was heading that direction, and I breathed. And I thought to myself, I can't puke all over this woman. So I stepped back outside. Then Todd's standing there. And he just got away. He went inside, talked to that lady and all those kind of things. I'm glad somebody's got a stronger gag reflex than me, because they did need help, and we got them some help. If it had been me, I'd have probably took the stuff about halfway up the stairs, you know, and went, hey! Because, man, I couldn't go in. It was upstairs house. The apartment was about 150 degrees. You know, dripping. Oh, my goodness. It was terrible, man. Those poor people were in there. They were living there. I guess you get used to it a little bit afterwards. But they needed help, didn't they? We are supposed to be helpers. We're supposed to be those kind of folks that show hospitality, those kind of folks who go the extra mile, those kind of folks who want to put Jesus first, those kind of folks who will assist if they can in Jesus' name, counting upon Jesus to do all that he can, only he can do through us. And that's a wonderful thing. The disciples weren't real good at it, but they got better. And we'll get better too. The closer we walk with Jesus, we'll get better too. And the Lord will actually let you do a little fishing occasionally. Father, thank you for who you are and what you do. It's amazing, incredible story of your ministry in the life of these average people. How great and how marvelous and how miraculous and this demonstration of time and time and time again of the Holy Spirit's power working through these everyday people. Lord, we're just everyday people. But we would ask that you would help us, that as we walk with you, that we would see through your eyes, hear with your ears, and open our hands, that others might see Jesus in us, that we might minister, and the gospel, the power of the gospel might change lives. The greatest thing in the world. Most marvelous task. We all have it. We're all commissioned as believers to do these things. Help us to do them. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand and we sing this morning. If you have something to make open, something to make public, you come. Don't hesitate. Don't delay.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace so free is sufficient for me. And deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room.
I thank you for your kind attention today, and I just ask that you would remember what the Lord has done for you. If you do that, you're going to be doing all that he would ask you to do. Amen. Amen.